epistle to Romans in chapter 13, please. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, I shalt not commit adultery, I shalt not kill, I shalt not steal, I shalt not bear false witness, I shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Him that is weak in the faith, him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived. For this end Christ both died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, or you're no longer walking in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable, well-pleasing to God, and approved of men, counted to be genuine. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. He that doubteth is judged if he eat, damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, endurance, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. By the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And here's the purpose. In order that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Very lengthy reading. This practical section of the Epistle to Romans. We are people of extremes. You see that in chapter 13, possibility of us being uncontrolled and self-indulgent. That's why Paul gives the warning at the end of the chapter. And then we can be scrupulous about trifles. And Paul is dealing with problems occurring in the churches at Rome. One of the constant evidences of a healthy Christian life is the manner in which Christians can get along with one another. And perhaps that's a problem in our modern assemblies as it was in the assemblies in Paul's day. Little problems that arise in assemblies. What we learned from chapter 13 and the verses we read, that love enables us to fulfill our obligations. The importance of love. Loving one another. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Here's a debt we can never pay. Showing love one to the other. And love will enable us to fulfill the directions that Paul gives in chapter 14. We see love in action in the exhortations that Paul gives in chapter 14. In chapter 5, we read that we are members one of another. We have been reminded in the ministry already this afternoon that we are members of the one body. Every believer in Christ is a member of his body. That's our privilege, being members of the one body. So that should enable us to get along with one another better sometimes than we do. You're my member, I am your member. And Paul says, here's something that you owe one another, a debt, to love one another. That word another occurs 14 times in this epistle to Romans. So it's something that's mutual. It's loving one another. It's not one-sided. I read in the Words and Seasons magazine when I was a young Christian, Don't go around looking for love. Go around showing it, and you will find plenty. You see how reciprocal it is, even in the marriage relationship. If love is shown to one's wife, there will be a response of love. If a parent loves the children will respond. We don't go around asking our children, "Do you love me?" We remind our children by our words and actions that we love them. And that love is reciprocated in the children. That's very simple ministry, isn't it? If we love one another, we're not to judge one another anymore. If we love one another, let us follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. 14:13. Be like-minded one to another after the example of Christ. Even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. Receive one another without criticism, without disputations. These believers were already in the assembly. It's not a question of assembly reception. It's a question of welcoming and receiving those already in fellowship. Could include receiving in as well. But we're to welcome one another. As Christ also has received us to the glory of God. Jews and Gentiles alike, as Paul points out in chapter 15, have been received by the Lord. So what's to hinder us receiving one another without questioning and finding fault with trifles? Love recognizes obligation to others. That's verse 8. Owe no man anything, verse chapter 13. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But it refers not only to financial transactions. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to love one another. Love respects the rights of others. That's why Paul brings in 5 commands from the Old Testament, the manward side of the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Love responds to others as you would treat yourself. The end of verse 9. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the law. But there's a greater commandment than that. The Lord has given that commandment. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. Sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Love refuses to do harm to a neighbor. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, neither by word nor action. When I was a boy, I heard these words, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not right. Names hurt and things are said that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Wounds that grieve and hurt. We have to be careful about our words. Sign in a restroom. If you like our food, tell other people. If you don't like our food, tell us. If you don't like something in the ways of your brother or sister, tell them. If you do like their ways, I need not go and tell them, but I should go and speak about them to others. Love results in the fulfillment of the law. Verse 10b. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Doesn't Paul say in Corinthians, "Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Hebrews 13, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So when we come to chapter 14, we see love in action. Included in the problems of the early church was the observance of ceremonially clean and unclean meats, eating meats offered to idols, observance of days, the tendency of the strong to despise the weak, and the tendency of the weak to judge the strong. Don't we have that tendency in this nature of ours to despise and to judge? There are some principles that should regulate our dealings with one another in chapter 14. The supreme authority of the Lord is His right to command, not ours. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? This is a domestic sphere. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Love will not delight in censuring his brother or causing occasion for him to fall. It was Augustine said, wasn't it? In essentials there should be unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in everything love. So we may have liberty in certain things, but we may cause a stumbling block to others. So rather than claiming our rights, we should forfeit our rights in order that we may not put a stumbling block in our brother's way. We're not going into details or itemizing things, but we have to be careful that we do not do anything that would put a stumbling block in another's way. We should act with Christ-like consideration. Please his neighbor, Paul says, for his good unto edification. We must avoid the attitude of irritation, ridicule, or contempt. A man's views are his own and should be treated with respect. A person may be true to the Lord and differ on minor things. We have no right to intermeddle in the domestic affairs of other people. And that's sometimes what causes problems. You've got no right unless it conflicts with the assembly testimony and things that are wrong, where things are legitimate. You've no right to interfere. Because we all have prejudices, we all have tastes, we have likes and dislikes. We should receive one another without regard to them. Because each one is responsible to the Lord. You'll notice that the Lord is mentioned at least 7 times, perhaps 8. There's a little section in verse 6 that may not be in the original text. But a person who regards the day, he regards it to the Lord. A person who eats scrupled meat, the Gentile, well, he's eating and giving God thanks. He's got no conscience whatsoever. As a Jew would have, who's newly saved, and he has some scruples about eating ceremonially unclean meats that were forbidden in the Jewish law. But both of them are giving God thanks. So then, I think what we can learn is that we can be true to the Lord and differ on minor matters. It's important, as we've been reminded this morning, that we should keep the Lord before us, establishing the right of Christ in our lives and in our affections. What we do is to the Lord, so we will not be doing things that are explicitly forbidden in the Word of God. We live our lives in subjection to God's Word. The kingdom of God, the Apostle tells us in chapter 14, is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if we do these things, he that in these things serveth Christ is well pleasing to God, and he will be accounted genuine before his fellow man. They may not always approve of what we're doing, this word approved, but they will have to say at least he's genuine. He's a true Christian. We've got to remember, in dealing with one another, where there are differences. Verse 3, that God hath received him. God hath received him, the brother, who is weak in his faith. That is, that he hasn't learned yet what the Lord said in Mark chapter 7. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out from his heart. These are the things that defile a man. This he said, making all meats clean. If you want to be a vegetarian voluntarily, you're at liberty to be a vegetarian. But it is not a command. Every creature of God is good. 1 Timothy 4, every creature of God is good. I better read the verse now, it just slipped my mind. 1 Timothy 4, if you'd like to look at it. And nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And Paul says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast fully attained. Chapter 15, verse 7, Christ hath received us. Receive one another, as Christ also hath received us. We are the Lord's. verse 8 of chapter 4, and remember regarding our brother that Christ died for him. And we are all servants of God, subject to him. And we live and die. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us. So that every one of us, each one of us, shall give account of himself to God. What are we to do about our differences? We're to welcome each other, chapter 14, verse 1. We're not to despise or judge another's convictions where he is weak in faith. Not to pass judgment one on another. Verse 3. Let each be convinced in his own mind. We have no authority to make others change their views. That is if they're scripture. All we do is unto the Lord, and we're not to cause another to stumble, and we're to pursue righteousness and peace and joy. I read this by an author, very impressive. Here's what he said. I have learned that God blesses other people I disagree with. God deals with his servants as he pleases. Luke chapter 9, the disciples wanted to forbid those who were casting out demons. The Lord said, forbid them not. For he that is not against us is for us. The ultimate goal of unity is in order that we may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are our responsibilities? My time is gone. Chapter 15. As brethren, we are to love one another. As disciples, we are to follow the Lord's example. As priests, we have the responsibility of offering up to the Lord. That's verse 16, chapter 15. Those that have been won by the preaching of the gospel. We have a responsibility as witnesses to preach Christ, for he's not near. We have a responsibility as stewards to give materially for the help of the poor. And we have a responsibility as prayer partners. The end of chapter 15. And Paul did not speak in general terms. Paul points out four petitions. In his prayer, in his beseeching them to pray for him. Number one, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed by the God of peace be with you. I suppose I could say again, let us put love in action. Let us manifest to one another by word and deed the love of God. May God bless us.